It's the day after tax day, everybody, at least here in the U.S. Our guest is up in Canada. I don't know. I'm going to ask what day is tax day in Canada. I don't know. But I hope you all got your taxes in on time. I got mine in weeks and weeks ago. All right, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is April 16th, 2019. It's a pleasure to have Dr. George Nichols with us. George is, I'm a doctor. I'm going to ask him about that. No, it's Mr. George is the CEO of my good friends up at Quillsoft. Which is, you can find out more about them and all the wonderful things they do. Then we'll talk about it with George over at quillsoft.ca, quillsoft.ca, as in Canada. All right, and we're going to talk about accessible PDFs, and we're going to talk about it in relationship for schools and school districts because it is a real factor out there. Okay, you've got a big, most of you, many of you, have a big community out there that you have to deal with. And when you put information out there, it has to be accessible for them, for people who may have special needs. And it's a real concern, especially for those folks who are concerned with folks with disabilities, those who have some sort of disability. And George is going to be talking to us about what they are, how to fix the situation, et cetera, et cetera. He really does know his stuff. We're going to archive the show over at education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio. And you can friend us on Facebook at EduTalk Radio as well, LinkedIn, EduTalk Larry. Next week, we're going to have our new issue of Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, our online magazine, up on site at ace-ed.org. The current issue and all the past issues are easily accessible, to use that word, to you over at ace-ed.org. But the new issue, and then we focus on autism a little bit this coming issue because April now is Autism Awareness Month, and we want people to be aware, but we cover many other subjects in there as well. Geez, pardon my voice. I also want to say to you, and I'm going to say this more often than I do, you know, our magazine is called Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. It's not just about special education. It's for all educators, all right? Superintendents on, down, around, through, et cetera, because equity and accessibility affect every single aspect of education today. And there's not a school district in the universe that doesn't understand that. It goes way beyond special ed, though we do look at that quite seriously all the time. All right, ace-ed.org over there, and let's bring on the one and only George Nichols. I called you, should I call you Dr. Nichols, George?
No, it's just George Nichols. The doctor in our company is Dr. Fraser Sheen, and as well as our chief science technology officer is Dr. Vivian Singh. So, no, it's just George. I'm the chief operating officer up here.
I know you are, George, and if you want a doctorate, I can give you one today from the University of Larry. Would you like that? You can have it. We can call you Dr. Nichols.
No. I'm quite fine, thank you.
And tell Fraser, by the way.
Our tax day was March 31st.
There you go. Okay, we're April 15th. We're 15 days, 16 days behind you. Okay, and we'll see what goes on with that. I'm all paid up. I'm very happy. And by the way, tell Fraser I said hi. Would you please do that for me?
I will certainly do so. I will be talking to him following our conversation here this morning.
I would hope so, okay, because I know that I was looking forward to this one. This accessible PDF thing is really, really something that it's kind of hidden. All right, people, the school districts and a lot of people don't really understand what's going on out there. And they understand, the most of them, that their websites should be accessible. We hope that's the case. Okay. You know, I know a lot of them are trying. It costs money, et cetera, but then they put their forms and stuff up on the website. They're not accessible. Okay. And it makes their PDFs and it makes for a big mess. Was that a good way to describe this?
Yes,
George?
It is. On your side of the border, the HHS, your Health and Human Services, has a Section 508. If you went to their website of HHS.gov and do a search for accessible PDF, they've got a whole series of information that explains what the accessibility needs to look like on the websites, as well as what the PDF accessibility needs to look like, and some checklists that you can go through for ensuring that your PDFs and your forms that are put up there on the sites, as well as on the intranet, make them accessible and follow the guidelines.
Yeah, and what's the situation? And you know both, because Quillsoft is big in both countries, Canada and the U.S., all right? Let's just look at Canada for a second. How are they doing on, I'll say, accessible PDFs? How are they doing?
Well, you know, it's very interesting you ask that. We fall into the same sort of trap that is within south of the border as well. A lot of the school districts have had cutbacks, regrettably, when the cutbacks happen, the touching up of documents to be able to make them navigable and be able to comprehend for those who require assistive technology to be able to live and breathe, that then has a tendency to take the back burner, and they create the initial document, and then they just don't get the time to go back and retouch them to be able to make them proper. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got some school districts.
Go ahead.
We have some school districts that are proactive and that have departments that are specifically aligned to making their accessible documents. So when things are created for the board, they're sent to that department. But then there are other school districts and areas that miss that completely. And it makes it very tough for those people who are just trying to be able to do their job and just need the adaptive technology just to be able to live and breathe.
And let me do a little segue here. Then I'm going to ask you what makes a document accessible. But tell everybody, you guys, I meant to ask you this first thing off. Quillsoft, tell everybody about Quillsoft so they understand where your expertise comes from on this. George.
Well, essentially, Quillsoft, to put it in a nutshell, it was born out of an idea that started at a kids rehabilitation hospital and the Ontario mm-hmm. government over 20 years ago to be able to assist people that have had brain trauma and speech challenges in order to be able to get their ideas very quickly and succinctly down on paper with the least amount of effort. And that was its genesis of the idea, and then from there was born the initial product of our WIVIC, which was an on-screen keyboard, was the first mm-hmm. Windows on-screen keyboard that existed, followed by WordQ, mm-hmm. which is the word prediction software, and it was whole intention was to be able to minimize the keystrokes necessary to be able to effectively communicate what you were thinking about and what you were trying to do. And that has matured over time to go into professional workspace, general education, general businesses, and so on, as a tool that not only assists those that require adaptive technology, but assists those that require the productivity and to be able to help with just being able to be a little bit more functional within the workplace.
Exactly. And just talk for a sec, position Quillsoft for schools and special education, that sort of thing. The Quillsoft of today.
The Quillsoft today, well, I would say our bread and butter comes from those individuals that require the assistive technology, and that assistive mm-hmm. technology fits into ESL as well. So,
Without question. Thank you.
Exactly. So, you know, where those struggle with writing in the native language of English because they may have some challenges like dyslexia or something of that sort, those that are coming to our country to be able to study and learn in English, they are disadvantaged in a similar way by not being able to have the repertoire verbal knowledge of the language. And they feel the same sort of pinches and same sort of challenges that those who require adaptive technology. So that's the main bread and butter. And then it's branched out into businesses as well as the post-secondary education. And, you know, when you're taking a look at post-secondary education, my daughter as well as our president's daughter, both use at their levels because and they're just by models of by way of an example, plagiarism is a big challenge. And when you are asking a friend to read your document to see whether or not you made any errors, there's thoughts and ideas that are within that document that were unique to you when it was written. But if they seize upon an idea and then write a paper with that idea in it before yours gets submitted, then it becomes a question, well, who had the idea first?
Yeah.
Having a tool such as WordQ or those screen readers that are out there to be able to highlight your document and read it back in another voice, our auditory processing, our ability to hear an error is far greater than our ability to see an error, because we learn the English language by our auditory first, by listening
right.
to our parents
Absolutely.
And by listening to our teachers. So we're able to pick up on errors by listening first before we are able to see it. So if we hear another voice read our document back to us, we can hear, oh, I didn't mean to say it that way. And there's a lot of times where, you know, you've received an email or you've received a document and you say, I just wish they would have proofread it. But even if we personally proofread a document, our brain fills in the blanks because it knows what we were hoping to say. So it makes those jumps and leaps within the statements that we've typed out there, saying, oh, well, you really meant this, and so I'll continue on. But when we hear it in a different voice, then all of a sudden we have to go into a decoding mode in our brain to be able to say, okay, what is this sentence trying to say? And the brain says, well, okay, this is out of place, or this doesn't sound right, or you finished it incorrectly. And then we can jump back in and do our own self-editing without the risk of having somebody else having to do a peer review, especially at the post-secondary level where it gets very, very sensitive
yeah.
for created ideas.
Well said, my friend. I wanted to ask before I forget, are you guys going to go to the ISTE conference, the Technology and Education Conference in Philly in June? Are you planning to be there?
We are hoping to. Right now we're in the midst of we're going to be launching a new add-on piece to our main flagship product. So it all depends upon timing and whether or not we can spare the people to go down there. But we're hoping to.
Good, and I hope I see you down there. I'll follow up into June to find out and make sure that we see each other or whoever's going to be there down in Philly, because I do want to stop over the booth. And again, everybody, it's Quillsoft. You don't have to wait till ISTE. It's quillsoft.ca, as in Canada. Back to the PDFs, okay?
Yep.
Common misunderstandings, George, amongst the generic person when it comes to creating and working with a PDF. What's your thought
on
that?
Well, the biggest challenge that we have with that, and you can well imagine to any person, and myself included, when I'm browsing the internet, your natural presumption is that all PDFs are created the same. And that is quite a misnomer, because some people will take, oh, I've got a page out of a document or I've got a manual, and I'll just scan the manual, and it ends up being just a picture of the words. And the presumption is that the person who's reading this picture of the words will be able to read those words and interpret it. And it makes it very difficult for those that are dependent upon having underlying technologies to be able to interpret those words, or if they are visually impaired, know what the picture is that's being presented to them without any specific tagging. So a lot of people, when they look at PDFs, they think, oh, well, you know, this was created properly with either Adobe or with a word processor that has the appropriate plugins to be able to make a proper PDF, and they would be able to read it without any issues at all. And such is not the case. And therein lies a lot of the biggest challenges that fit within the AT sphere. There's large resources of scanned books that exist out there, and you do a search and think, okay, you know, I'd love to read, you know, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and you find that you can get the book and you download the PDF of the book and you open it up and you say, but I can't read it. If I'm challenged with my reading ability, it's just scanned pages, a picture of a page, that if I struggle with reading, that's not going to help me at all.
Right.
So,
right.
And that's where, you know, the Section 508, part of the Health and Human Services, as well as the Canadian government, has got its own legislation that relates specifically to accessibility. That's where they come in to be able to say, look, if you're going to have any document whatsoever, it has to be created in a way that those PDFs are made accessible so that somebody can comprehend what's written there and can navigate that page with or without the use of an adaptive technology. And it makes it difficult. If you've got a 400-page document and you don't have bookmarks
yeah.
to jump between the sections, that creates such a degree of disadvantage to anybody who's trying to digest the content.
So put QuillSoft and your technology and what you do, and let's just say I'm a school district, okay? I'm as big as a school district, so let's say I am one, all right? So I'm a school district,
okay.
All right? And I have these PDFs that I want to do. I talk to QuillSoft. Okay, I go on your website, whatever. What will you do for me? What's QuillSoft's role in all this? What's the technology? What am I buying?
Well,
let me ask it a different way as well. Am I sending you every PDF and you're going to fix it there, or am I buying software for me to use at my end? And what's the software going to do? Put it into real points.
Well, to put it in the nuts and bolts, no. What we are providing you with are tools to be able to unlock those accessibility features that have been formed and built into PDFs. By way of illustration, Adobe has tools within its Adobe Pro that allows you to tag the document properly, that allows you to navigate through it. It also has an optical character recognition tool that if it's a picture of words that have been scanned, it will convert it to text so that you can make that flow of the document go properly. Microsoft Word has got a similar thing from 2016 and above. They've got an accessibility checker, so it will check your document before you make it as a PDF to determine whether or not you've got all of the tagging that is necessary. That tagging becomes important, and when you are going through, and my goodness, I'll cite, for example, I've got a PDF of the manual of my car that was produced by the manufacturer. And when I highlight and tell it to read the document, it's going through the first paragraph, and all of a sudden it jumps to the second paragraph and then goes back up to the middle of the first paragraph. Well, that tagging is vitally important for somebody who requires assistive technology. The flow of where these sentences go, the author, the creator of the document, needs to ensure that the document is being produced in a way so that what the author intends is what the reader is going to get and see.
Wow. Wow.
So,
and so what you're saying,
is,
wait a minute, I just want to ask. So
okay,
basically everything you need is kind of already in there. Let's just use Adobe Pro or Microsoft Word.
Yes.
It's somewhere
yes.
in the background. Okay. But most people can't get to it. And the QuillSoft technology, all right, allows them to open those windows, open those doors, so to
well,
speak.
Well, our technology sees those. It sees that language. It, by the very same nature, when you go to a website, you don't see the background coding that allows the picture to be in the top right-hand corner, the words to flow around it. You don't see the coding
yeah.
to make that work. But you see it formatted for you in a way that you can, I understand that this wording is for that picture and it's trying to help me understand that, and there's a link that takes me somewhere. You don't see the code that makes your browser take that link and go somewhere else or to be able to display it, but the browser itself is interpreting it for you so that it displays it in a way that you can understand and you can get access to the content. By the same token, when you create, for example, a test in Microsoft Word, if I want my students to be able to read a list and I'm giving them multiple choice, for instance, and I give them a question, then multiple choice, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I put, I have answers beside each of those lists. Now, in a perfect world, I would have typed the question in, I would have typed answer one, or number one,
yeah.
with a multiple choice and the answer beside it, the number two and the answer beside it, number three and the answer beside it. In some cases, what you will get is the test gets created, the list numbers get put there, and then afterwards the answer skip. But visually, it looks like you've gone number one in an answer, number two in an answer, number three in an answer. But what happens behind the scenes as it gets tagged as, oh, I've done one, two, three, four, and then I've done answer one, answer two, answer three, answer four. So if I was to use a screen reader for that document and highlight it, it will go one, two, three, four, and then it will do answer one, answer two, answer three, answer four, rather than one, answer, two, answer, three, answer. And so that behind-the-scenes tagging, if the creator of the document doesn't think ahead to what am I going to do to be able to make this easier for those who struggle with reading,
right,
then it gets lost in the translation. And that's where, you know, all PDFs aren't created equal. I just finished working with a person from the Ontario government, and we took a look at one of their sample tests that was created, and we're going through it, and we got three quarters of the way through it, and then they had a section where somebody had gone in and edited because the phrasing of the paragraph wasn't phrased correctly. So they went in and they edited that in an effort to be able to make it more culturally diverse. But what they ended up doing was they broke the flow of the text. So when you highlighted and read it, it read the first sentence, it read the last sentence, and then it went back up to the second sentence and the third sentence, because those were edited and fixed after the first and the last. They weren't done as a whole body. So that tagging is important. And Adobe has tools in there to be able to go in and fix tagging and fix the order in which your information is going. And in Microsoft Word, if you go in and you're going to redo a piece and add something in afterwards, then republish your PDF. And then you get the flow of the way it was originated. But usually what happens is they're in a pinch and they'll open up a tool that will edit the PDF. They will throw in the answers, but throwing the answers in puts it out of order from all of the rest of the information. Yeah,
you know, and you're right when you say you don't see the background. Sometimes I'm typing something and all of a sudden it's putting it somewhere else. And I never knew. Sometimes you just don't know why. It's maybe because I put three dots in as opposed to a comma or something like that. And all of a sudden, it's reading it as something that I don't want it to be, all right? And, you know, the computer's plunking it in there like it's something I don't want it to be. What is this called? If somebody calls Quillsoft and says, I'm really interested in this technology, what are they asking you for?
Well, it's interesting that you – this is what is going to be launched this month, is a PDF reader that we have got in addition that is going to be embedded within our flagship product. And this PDF reader.
Is that WordQ?
WordQ is our flagship desktop product, yes. And embedded within that, you will have a PDF reader that allows you to be able to read a PDF that has been made accessible by the creator and read it in the fashion that they want, as well as to be able to respond to forms in that document using the word prediction that we have and using those guides. And if there are places that answers need to be put, you can create your own text box to be able to go in and be able to enter in answers. If it's a long answer, for example, that you're looking to do on a particular test or form that you're putting information in on, this tool will enable you to be able to do that.
And I have to ask, you know, to me, again, we publish our magazine, et cetera. You guys have worked with us on that sort of thing and here on the show, et cetera. But, you know, I'm curious, what is the Do school, let's use schools and school districts, do they understand this? And from what you know, George, have they gotten a lot of complaints about this? I mean, or is it something they should just be, and I'll say this, ethically and morally aware of? Or is it something that they could really, that they're really getting complaints about from a lot of people who have challenges? What do you hear?
Well, they're getting a lot of complaints, and where it was when they went to standardized testing in Ontario, that precipitated a lot of, yeah, we have standardized testing set grade 3, 6, 9, and then we have in grade 10, we have a literacy test to ensure that those that go through the grade 10 program and finish grade 10 are competent enough within the English language in order to be able to work within the workplace. Now, this standardized testing, it pushed the need at the government level that the documents that were being produced had to be retouched to make sure that anybody and everybody that was going to be tested with this standardized testing would be able to understand it, get the flow of it, would be able to understand what the pictures mean. And that's one of the things that gets missed in a lot of PDFs that are produced is the alternate tagging. You know, when you mouse over on a web page and it pops up a little alternate tag saying, oh, this is a picture of the Eiffel Tower. And if somebody has a vision problem, they may not understand the shape, but if the alternate text pops up on a web page and their screen reader comes back and says, this is a picture of the Eiffel Tower, they begin to understand. Within a PDF, that texting should be in there. So when the ministry started to reinforce the need to have all of this accessibility built in the standardized testing, the parents and the school districts began to recognize, well, what about my daily work? You know, if my son, my daughter has been given an assignment on a PDF, they should have the same capability within that PDF that they are being provided on the standardized testing. They should be able to read this. They should be able to understand it. It should flow properly. The sentences should go in order when it's being read back to them, to be able to level the playing field and make it accessible for everyone. So that trickle-down effect has certainly been felt at the school districts and in the businesses to be able to reinforce the concept that, you know, adaptive technology is not a whim or is not a passive phase. It is something here that is real, and it is something that needs to be taken into consideration for all of our employees and for all of our students going through the system to ensure that they understand what it is that we're trying to impart.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, you know, with the adaptive technology, which, and you said it before, you know, you had the word prediction, it becomes commonplace, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Kurt,
you know, the universal design for learning, you know all this, and I hope I've gotten this across to the audience several times. All these things are important. They become part and parcel of our life. They start out differently, but they become part and parcel of our life, and this needs to become part and parcel of what we do as well. You gave a good explanation, my friend. I hope the product's ready for ISTE. I'm going to put down to call you guys prior to ISTE to make sure.
We're just finishing our beta testing now and our testers that it's gone out to. It was going to be launched a little bit earlier, but close off being what they are, we've built a reputation on something simple and doesn't break and works. And we're putting it through its final phase of hammering it through a very rigorous testing phase this week, and we should have it all done and ready. Yep.
Good. Make everybody work, man. Noon to midnight every day to make it happen. Okay, it'll be great.
Exactly.
And I hope I see you guys down in Philly. I really do because I look forward to that. All right, and that is ISTE, and it's going to be great. George, thanks a million, and you're welcome to that doctorate from the University of Larry if you want it this afternoon. No problem.
Thank you so very much, Larry. Thank you.
My pleasure, my friend. You have a good day, and tell everybody up there I said hello. Okay, thanks, George.
We certainly will. You have a beautiful day as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. Quillsoft.ca. I don't know why my voice is so gravelly today. Quillsoft.ca. Good company. Great company, as a matter of fact. Good friends of ours. Okay. That was George Nichols, their chief operating officer. All right. And it's great stuff. And this is important. And believe me, it is all going to become part and parcel of what we do every day. You want to make sure the people are taken care of right off the bat. It's just the way it is. And you know it's the right thing to do. Okay. And we have the technology now to do it. Okay. So thanks, George. That was just absolutely excellent. All right. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out over at Andrew Talk Radio. ACE-ED.org, Accessibility, Compliance, Equity, and Education. That's our online journal, ACE-ED.org. And just like what George was saying, it's not just special ed. It's for everybody. Okay, so check it out. Enjoy and tell your friends about it. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.